Good afternoon and welcome to World Talk Radio. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Today we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness, responding to your email questions, and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, sir.
Great to hear your voice.
Thank you. Good to hear yours. Glad to be back here together again.
It's great to be here. And I can barely contain my excitement because we have a caller from outside of the United States.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a coup.
That's a coup.
Let's see what they have to say.
Let's see what we have to say. I'd like to welcome Shannon from Calgary. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Hey,
Hi.
Shannon.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, you?
Great.
Good.
How are things up north?
Things up north are good.
Is it chilly where you are?
No, not right now. We're having a bit of a Chinook, so it was 10 degrees the other day.
Oh, balmy.
All the snow is gone.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's kind of disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah, I like the snow, but what can you do?
What can you do? We have no control of these things.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to say that I'm really grateful for what you guys do. And this summer, I was very happy to be able to go to the Zen Center.
Uh-huh.
And take part in There Is Nothing Wrong With You.
Uh-huh.
It was great.
That was a good thing.
Yeah, it was great. And
good.
Michael was even there serving.
Oh, okay.
Just cool.
Uh-huh.
Great.
Old Home Week.
Pardon me?
Old Home Week.
That's right.
Great. Well, what's going on now?
Well, the thing I wanted to talk about that's going on for me is the same thing that seems to always be going on for me is that it's just I have a pretty difficult time sometimes making decisions, especially about the bigger, so-called bigger things in my life. And it's just, I think I'm at a point where I just find it almost ridiculous, you know, because I just get so wrapped up in my head about it all that I have no idea on any other level what's right for me.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And can you feel comfortable giving us a few of the details?
The content?
Yeah, the content.
Yeah, sure. I applied to grad school a while back.
Uh-huh.
And got accepted and deferred because I couldn't decide if I wanted to do it or not.
Uh-huh.
And then, so I've deferred for a year and now it's coming up again and it's like, got to make the decision this time, you know? And then, but I seem to set up polar opposites to that because it's like grad school on one hand, the conventional safe path, and then sort of everything that calls to my heart on the other side. You know, I seem to set up these black and white situations.
Uh-huh. So, let me make sure I'm with you.
Pardon me?
Let me make sure I'm with you. So, there's graduate school, which is perceived as the safe, traditional kind of thing, and then there's everything else that you're drawn to.
Yeah. It's quite a way to put it.
Uh-huh. Now, see, I thought that's what I heard.
Yeah, I know. It is what you heard.
Uh-huh. And so when you hear it reflected back like that, what does that sound like to you?
Well, it sounds a bit dramatic, you know, why can't I incorporate what I love into my life and still go to grad school, you know?
Yes.
That sort of thing.
Yes, and what is it that you would like to incorporate into your life?
I would like to incorporate yoga, maybe doing yoga teacher training or, you know, getting more deeply involved in Buddhism and I remember once you were speaking to someone in one of the email classes, and you said to her, why don't you go and live as a monk for a year? And then after that, you know, have a clear, centered idea of how you want to be in the world.
Uh-huh.
I always remembered that, and I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, why doesn't she do that?
Yeah.
And so that appeals to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens when you consider that?
Well, then, you know, I throw up all these reasons why that wouldn't work either. And then I just stay stuck.
Okay. And so tell me about reasons why it wouldn't work.
The being a monk for a year?
Yeah.
Well, I might have to cook at the monastery.
Uh-huh.
I'm just kidding. But, yeah, silly. It could be anything, any silly reason. Like, what do I do afterwards? So already I'm going way to the future and saying...
Okay, so in other words, there's really nothing stopping you except these made-up future difficulties.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Pretty much it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you're pretty on to the process, aren't you?
Yeah.
There's what you want to do. There's what your heart wants you to do.
Uh-huh.
And then there are a lot of what you would recognize as silly reasons not to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and they're all based on fear. And
all based on fear.
So, but there's fear no matter which way you look. So I just end up staying where I am.
Okay. Now, have I told you my little decision-making process?
No.
Okay. So what you do is you say, you write down, go to the monastery or go to graduate school or do yoga teacher training, or are there other things?
Go traveling.
Go traveling. Okay. Anything else?
Those are the big ones.
Okay. So you write each one of those on a piece.
Okay.
In a hat.
Mm-hmm.
And then you draw one out, and that's what you do.
I can just see me doing that and then just kind of throwing it in the corner and going, oh, yeah.
Okay.
So but I then, like it.
Huh?
But I like the idea.
Yeah, just to see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to see what happens. Because what I'm getting from you is it doesn't actually matter. What really matters is getting off the dime, as we say. What really matters is getting out of this place of being trapped in conditioning, mm-hmm. ability to say, oh, no, you can't do that because, oh, no, you can't do that because, oh, no, you can't do
yeah.
that because.
Yep.
Is that it?
Yeah, it yeah. is. It's exactly.
So here would be a really good order, okay? You, first of all, come to the monastery. Then you go do yoga teacher training. Then you travel, then you go to graduate school.
Now, why do you say that?
Well, it's just such a good progression. The first one is going to deepen and expand your awareness. It's going to help you understand the process of how life works. You know, what those voices are, how they do what they do to you, how not to listen to them, how not to believe them, just a whole course in how you cause yourself to suffer and how to stop.
Right.
Then you do yoga teacher training because that would give you a focus for something to do with your life.
Right.
Okay. Then, as a big reward to yourself for all that hard work, you go do some traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you come back from that, and as you're doing your yoga teaching,
mm-hmm.
you go to graduate school.
Mm. I like that.
Good.
I do.
Huh?
It was funny because when you said throw them all in the hat and do the one you pull out, my other reaction was, oh, God, what if I pull out grad school? The only one. I was like, oh, God, I wouldn't want to just have to go.
Yeah, and so there you are. It'll be so far down on the list that mm-hmm. if by the time you're ready to go, you will either want to go or you won't, and you'll be clear about it.
Yeah.
That there won't be any more of this torture.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay?
Yeah, I like that. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Shannon. You're to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're taking your calls today, and we're talking about any subject under the sun.
As long as we do it through the filter of conscious, compassionate awareness, it just doesn't matter, does it?
It doesn't matter, as long as it's done under the filter of conscious, compassionate awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, we have another caller here.
It's a good day.
I'd like to welcome Deborah from Cape Cod. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Hi there.
How are you?
Good, you?
Very well. We're just getting through a blizzard here.
That was my next question. And how is the weather where you are?
Well, we're going to get 10 more inches tomorrow.
Whoa. That is so impressive.
I know. It's amazing out here. Well, I'm actually visiting my mother.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I'm calling.
Okay. I'm not going to project anything onto that. I'm going to let you tell me what that means.
Well, it's been 11 years.
Since you visited?
Yes.
Holy rockets.
So this is post, like, father's death.
Uh-huh.
And wasn't really around for a lot of, like, the aftermath of all of that. But it's been very, very challenging. And what I'm noticing most is there's a lot of negative talk, a lot of...
A negative self-talk in you.
What's happening is there's a lot of judgment coming up about what I'm hearing about my mother's unhappiness.
So your mother is talking to you about her life, and the voices in your head are judgmental about what she's saying.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, there's just a lot of negativity.
Uh-huh.
And I'm noticing that, you know, that's not the experience that I want.
It's not the experience that you want?
It's not the experience that I want.
Uh-huh. You want your mother to be having a different life experience. And talking about that.
Right. Well, I mean, I just came from visiting my sister, and I did have a time briefly with my brother, who I'm going to go see shortly here in another day or so. But, you know, everybody has the same opinion that she's, you know, very, very unhappy, and everything is negative, negative, negative. And I just noticed that when I got on the phone with a friend, who kind of pointed out to me, gosh, you know, I don't know you to be so negative. And it's kind of infectious.
So, okay, now let me catch up with you. So there you are with your unhappy mother, who
mm-hmm.
in everybody's perception is negative. And then you realize that you have caught this because you're talking to somebody else who's pointing out how negative you are.
Right.
Whoa. Uh-huh.
that their experience with me, I mean, like, they've known me for 3 years now, and that they, you know, that in our conversation, it was just, wow, you know, you need to get out of the house, or you need to get away a little bit, because you're kind of getting, it's like, it's bringing, you know, it's causing you to become that way.
Uh-huh. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
What do you do with this? When there you are in a conversation with your mother and she's unhappy and negative, what do you do with that inside yourself?
Gosh, you know, it's again, what's happening is that I'm judging it. I'm saying, you know, this isn't, you know, that this isn't the kind of, well, it's not the experience that I want to be having with her.
Right. So that's what you hear in your head.
Right.
Okay. And then what do you do with that inside yourself? I mean, you hear the voice of negativity and resistance. And can you feel yourself tensing up against it?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And
so you don't say anything to her.
No. Well, this is it, and I keep thinking, you know, if there was only something that I could say that might, kind of switch things in some way. Like I thought, you know, like in terms of like reflective listening.
Now, that would, of course, be my first suggestion. So what's the deal with that?
Well, I don't have enough experience doing it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how, you know, I don't know quite how to form you know, the response.
Okay, so it feels like you don't know how to form the response.
Right.
Okay, now are you aware that I just did it?
I know.
Yeah. So it's not really that hard, is it?
No, it's not.
Yeah. So now that would be my biggest encouragement to do that.
Okay.
I would suggest that the voices who want to keep you locked in this negative place with your mother are trying to convince you that you don't know how to do reflective listening.
Okay.
And you certainly do know how to do that. So what you're doing is practicing being a facilitator for your mother.
Right.
You're being a therapist. You're being a doctor. You're being a teacher, whatever it is, a mentor. Anybody who's in that position of, I am here listening to you because I want to be present to and supportive of you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean I agree with you. It doesn't mean I think you're right. It doesn't mean anything. It just means I'm holding up a mirror so that you can have all of the attention and I can be really present with you.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going along and all of a sudden your mother says, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that parroting thing? Can you picture her saying that?
Yes.
Yeah. And what you say is, because I'm practicing being really attentive to exactly what you are saying.
Okay.
I don't want to get caught up in putting my spin on your life. I want to hear exactly what you're saying, and the best way for me to do that is to just simply say back to you what you said so we can both be as sure as possible that I'm actually hearing you.
Got it.
Okay. Now, if she doesn't want to do that, you have to call me back because we have another set of problems.
Okay.
If she does want to do that, then this is a woman who is not heard and really wants to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, what we know about not being heard is she's not listening to her, and that's why it feels like no one else is listening to her. So if you can really be there and hear her and let her know that you hear her, and she's open to that, she's going to move to a different place with this stuff. And she's going to think you're the most brilliant. She won't be able to believe that she produced you.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
You'll give it a go?
I will.
Yeah. And then periodically go out in that 10 degrees or 10 below or whatever it is and breathe a lot of nice fresh air and tell yourself what a complete, absolute, utter hero you are.
I will do that.
All right. Excellent.
And I thank you so very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Let us know how it goes.
I will. Be well.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for calling, Deborah. You're listening to Open Air with Cher Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We are at the end of our first segment here, Sherry. It's great having all these callers.
Yes, I hope the next segment is just chock-a-block full.
I hope so, too. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Cherry Huber, and we'll be back in another couple minutes. Listening to Open Air with Cherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Today we are talking about conscious, compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here for the next segment of Open Air with Cherry Huber. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Cherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Cherry, that was a busy first segment there.
That was. It was great.
Lots of callers.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So I have a couple email questions here, and I also have your schedule in front of me.
Good.
And
where am I going?
You are. Yeah, I'll be your travel advisor here. Okay. Depression and opportunity for spiritual growth.
In Austin, Texas,
in
this
Austin,
weekend.
Texas. It's coming weekend, January 28th, 29th.
That's right.
And
still time to get into the retreat in Mexico.
Oh, yes. And you're jumping ahead to the next one, February 5 to 12. Be kinder to yourself than you think you should be.
Mm-hmm. And there's no better way to do that than on a beach in Mexico in the middle of February.
No doubt.
And then we move right to Boulder, Colorado, huh?
Boulder, Colorado, February 18th and 19th.
Yes.
There is nothing wrong with you.
There's nothing wrong with you. And, of course, that's going to be a, you know, people shouldn't hear that title and think that they have done that workshop because they haven't.
Uh-huh.
It's just that's the topic, and then we're going to figure out all kinds of fun and interesting ways to explore that.
Oh, wonderful.
Yep.
Wonderful. Yes, it says finding conscious, compassionate awareness in every moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
so
then in March, you'll be in Germany.
And then off to Germany.
Off to Germany.
Yeah, middle of March, we'll be in on retreat in Germany and going around and maybe doing some talks. So if people know people in Germany, people want to go to Germany, anybody wants to go to Germany with me, that'd be great.
Great. Sounds like
go
fun.
Go to Germany, that'd be great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I also remember on our last show, you mentioned the year-long email class. That's true.
That's going to start March 1st.
March 1st.
Yes. Year-long email class. Details will be coming out about it, but if it's something that a person wants to do, they should definitely get in touch with us. It's 1 year, 52 focuses, and it's going to be...
52 focuses.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so every week we're going to be looking at a slightly different aspect of awareness practice, and it's designed to accomplish two things. One, if people have been doing this practice for a long time, a lot of it is going to be familiar. And so, because it is, let's face it, after you've been doing practice for a long time, there's not a lot new to learn. The trick then is to remember what we've already learned.
Yes.
So for new folks, it's going to be a lot of stuff that they haven't probably encountered before. Old timers are going to be using it as an opportunity to stay really focused for 52 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm very excited about it. It's a charge of $600.
Uh-huh.
And it's an upfront charge. People can, you know, put it on their credit card or however they want to do it, but it is a commitment. And we're doing it this way specifically because the temptation to let it drop after a while is almost overwhelming. What we're going to be doing is essentially dismantling the ego over those 52 weeks. And the resistance to it is going to be almost overwhelming for a lot of people. So we want to have a cost there. So at least the conditioning is in this bind of, yeah, but if I quit, I'm going to lose the money. So which is perfectly intentional. And I've kidded people that if they think that that's not enough to make them stay in the class, then they should send me double that amount. They should send me whatever they are will be unwilling to allow conditioning to talk them out of doing this class for fear of losing. Whatever that amount is, that's what they should put up for the class. It's going to get exciting.
It's
a fasten-your-seatbelt kind of experience.
Yes, yes. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, we have a caller here.
Good.
I'd like to welcome Barb from Pittsburgh. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry and Michael.
Good evening.
Yeah, I'm finding a little bit of almost resistance to talk about this particular thing that's come up. That's why I know I'm on to something, I think.
Yes, yes. When we hit that resistance, we know we're going in the right direction, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I tell you, I wish everybody in the world could understand that.
Voices start going
into, oh, no, I don't think so. This doesn't feel, I don't like this. I don't want that. I mean, you know you're going in the wrong. Just pick up the pace.
Yeah. Usually, too, I would call in or talk in group when I have something interesting to share and not a problem or something that I don't understand. That's interesting, too, that I don't like to put myself out there with a hey, this is what I'm doing, and then find out what's wrong with what I'm doing kind of thing.
Aha.
Yeah.
So you're aware of kind of working with conditioning to protect conditioning.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And the particular thing that's been happening since the last email class, I was watching how, especially with sitting practice, how I would go in and out of attention and watching whether it would be a sensation or something happening that would draw me out, and suddenly I'd pop back in, and just trying to watch that and see what's really going on.
Uh-huh.
And then I noticed that maybe all that was spurring conditioning to do something, because my sitting practice has sort of gotten kind of sleepy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it's something I've not had before.
Literally, you sit down on the cushion and start nodding off.
Yeah, and what's interesting is if I do counting of the breath, that makes me even more sleepy instead of focused.
Yes.
And then I find that, I'm pretty good at watching the thoughts, but in the past I could do that, but now it's just, I'll get caught in the thought and be off. And then I'll come back, and I always think of you going, hooray, a conscious moment.
Uh-huh.
And then, that kind of sends me in a little bit, and then I'm back again. And what happens, I just think that for a while I was thinking of using other techniques to get me to stay back kind of thing. And you had mentioned in the email class, no, you want to find out how, don't change anything.
Yeah.
Because conditioning will, love to do that.
Oh, yeah. Conditioning, first of all, being really present is the first step to falling asleep.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if you're sitting there and you're counting the breaths and you're trying to stay present but you can't, you're not there, then you're not sleepy at all. But as soon as you're counting the breath and you're present, then the falling asleep kicks in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's conditioned mind protecting itself against.
So I was trying to watch how that happens, and it just seems like it's so difficult to get past that.
Yeah.
Because I feel that resistance to falling asleep. It's like I shouldn't be sleeping when I'm sitting.
Yes.
And
so here's my encouragement. Now, you'll have to keep in touch about this, okay?
Okay.
My encouragement right now is to watch how you go to sleep, but don't fight sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Just fall asleep. And then wake up and watch how you fall asleep.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
Don't try to come up with new techniques to keep you present.
Right.
Because if you do that, then, it's just got you.
Then you miss the whole thing.
Yeah, it's got you on the run.
Yeah.
So just don't fight it. Just be really relaxed.
That's an important point for me. That sounds really big, is the fighting of that.
Oh, yeah.
That
and
comes
again,
in so many other areas in my life.
Anytime conditioned mind can get you in a contest, it's won. It's already won.
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't fight it. You just sit there. You're very comfortable, very relaxed, and you're watching, and then you kind of nod off. And then you wake up, and you're counting, and you're watching, and you nod off. And you may have some very sleepy, very relaxing kind of sits.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll pass through this stage.
Yes.
But if it gets into the contest, if you're hating it and resisting it and that sort of thing.
Yeah. That is exactly where I've been.
Yeah,
that is
and
exactly
then it'll last a really long time because it's
and I've been suspicious of that, so I haven't completely gotten it, but I've,
Uh-huh.
Yeah. One of the things I noticed today, this morning, with the morning sit, and I was thinking, something happened. There was a noise out in the hallway, and there usually isn't supposed to be a noise because I'm the first one up, and that gave me a zing of energy. And I thought, isn't that interesting how, like, fear of something, there's plenty of energy for that.
Yes.
There's plenty of energy to watch the thoughts, and then when it comes to actually counting and doing that, there's zero energy.
Yes. Isn't that interesting? So you could be sitting there absolutely falling asleep, and then you decide that you're going to work on a project that you're really interested in. You're going to sit there and suddenly you're wide awake.
Yeah.
Yeah, have everything you need. Or maybe, you're upset about something and you're going to review once again that conversation and suddenly you're just wide awake, just filled with energy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I've been through the whole thing of, oh, maybe I should do yoga first to get energy and all these kind of things. But that's why I wanted to check with you and say, okay, I'm just going to sleep here, right?
That's right, because it's so clear, isn't it, what's going on? I mean, you have, of course you could do yoga, but it's not going to affect this.
Right.
Yeah. The only thing that's going to change this is when you come out the other side, or temporarily, when you let your mind wander to things that are interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I've mentioned this before, that people will tell me that they get to this stage and they start having sexual fantasies in order to stay awake. Well, it kind of misses the point.
Yeah.
So just to watch how that process happens. What are you allowed to do and what are you not allowed to do?
Yeah.
What do you, or what are you required to sleep through and what do you get to stay awake for? And just to be awed by the fact that conditioned mind is in charge of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Powerfully so.
Yeah. It's astounding.
Yeah. It's interesting because at the beginning of the call I said I've never fallen asleep. In my many years of sitting practice, I've never allowed that to happen.
Uh-huh. You fought it every time.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Those days are over.
Yeah.
Now, if you just, you know, if you're sleeping a month from now, then we need to talk again.
Yeah. Well, I'll be interested to see what happens.
Yeah. Oh, never a dull moment.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks, Barb.
All right, take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling, Barb. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're having a busy show today, huh, Sherry?
Mm-hmm. That's great. I like that.
Yeah, me too. We're going to take a break here, and we're going to be back in just a few minutes in our final segment. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Today we're talking about conscious compassionate awareness, and we'll be continuing that conversation in our next final segment coming up. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and we're talking about conscious, compassionate awareness. Sherry, we have another caller here.
Who is that?
I'd like to welcome John from Fredericksburg, Virginia. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello, Michael and Sherry. How are you?
Great.
Doing well, John. How are you?
Good, thank you. I appreciate the retreat last weekend. It was wonderful.
Oh, good. It was wonderful, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
I had an interesting, I don't know if it was a phenomenon or an insight, but as I was, excuse me, as I was driving back from it, I took to heart, or at least what I thought was to heart, two of your thoughts, and that was listen from the gut on issues rather than the head, from the heart, the gut, from the Dantian. I think that's what you said.
Uh-huh.
And the second one was, as we worked all weekend, was attention and awareness and then putting attention on awareness.
Yes.
And that was really very powerful. And as I was driving home, I was working on those, and suddenly, as I was driving in the car, the whole, it wasn't me driving necessarily, but the whole field shifted, the ground subject-object reversed, and I was driving, instead of me driving down the road was driving underneath me, and I was just standing there. And it was strange, but it was very aware. It was not highway hypnosis, because I was extremely aware of what was going on.
Uh-huh.
And then as I got into it, it was a little disheartening at first and concerning. But then I said, I bet I can count my breath. And I meditated for a solid hour.
Uh-huh.
And then broke it, meditated for another hour. I was just, it was wild just to experience that. And I could go back into that again, just the reversal of perception.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, and I could pick it back up again and do, and I could walk, and it feels like I'm walking a treadmill if I wanted to pay attention that way and really pay attention. Walking up the stairs or pushing the house down. A complete reversal of subject and object. There was any comments on that?
Well, it's so fascinating, isn't it, that here is an experience that sounds like you've never had before.
Right.
And then you slip into it, which
right.
is kind of what it feels like. Just one moment you're having a completely different perception of life. And then once you sense where that is, that you can go back into it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part that's most fascinating to me. That, I mean, there are so many of those kinds of experiences that we can have.
Okay.
That kind of shift. I don't know if you've ever had this one, but being in a conversation with someone and not being able to tell which one you are.
No, but I'll look for that.
Yeah. So it's again one of those. It's that same kind of shift.
Okay.
And once you realize it's there, then it's possible to return to it.
Uh-huh.
And I find that fascinating. Not that there's actually any reason to, other than I think it's extremely helpful to recognize, realize, and get on a regular basis that this reality. Now, first of all, I don't know that you live in the same reality that I live in.
Sure.
Right? Or that we live in the same reality that anybody else lives in. So each one of us probably is living in his or her own reality. And yet it's close enough that there's sort of an agreement about how all of this works. So to realize that this agreed-upon reality is only one of how many ways that a person can perceive life, I think that's just critical to keep in the front of our awareness.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is interesting perception shift, multiples of those are just life shifts, and continue to practice being aware and aware of attention and aware of awareness.
Yes, and not to, you know, sometimes people will have a shift like that, and they really prefer it to where they've been living their lives
mm-hmm.
from, and then it's gone, and they
mm-hmm.
can't get back to it, and then they're very disappointed because
right.
the reality that they come back to seems inferior to that one that they visited. So in Zen, of course, it's just that constant, is that so? Oh, okay, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting you said that, because it was one of those cases where as soon as the shift happened, it was, oh, is that so? Okay,
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah, this is interesting. What does it mean? Well, probably nothing. Should I cling to this? I don't think so. Should I try to push it away? Should I be afraid? No, I don't think so. It's just, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Still made it home.
Great.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks
right.
for calling.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Thanks for calling, John. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, I remember at the end of our show last week, we had encouraged people to call in as part of their homework assignment.
That's right. I wonder if that's what happened this week.
So this is really great.
Yeah. You know, what's fun for me about this, I mean, aside from the fact that talking with people is fun, but the variety of places that people are calling in from, I love
mm-hmm.
that sense of all of us.
Yes.
In all of these different places connected here at this time together.
Wonderful.
Last week, what is today, Monday, so the last part of last week, John and I were together on retreat in the mountains of North Carolina, and here's this this group of people in this place doing this thing together.
Yes.
And then here we are on the radio show, and there's this group of people, this larger group of people doing this thing together.
Yeah.
And it's lovely. And then in the way we were talking about with John, you know, there's this way of perceiving and this way of perceiving and this way of perceiving. There are these ways of being together and these ways in this group and this group and this larger group, and the connections just I'm making these movements with my hands, like sort of like ripples in a pond.
Uh-huh.
Which you cannot see because this is radio, not television. But that sort of feeling of all of us together practicing in conscious compassionate awareness.
Yes. Yes.
Right. It's very lovely.
Yes. To me, it's really exciting, the connection and the power I feel of Sangha.
Yes.
Of community.
Yes. And the thing that I like about that, there's what we think of as our Sangha.
Uh-huh.
So these are the people that we know. We recognize their faces, and we know them by name, and we practice with them, you know, with whatever degree of regularity.
Yes.
And then there is the larger Sangha.
Yes.
All kinds of groups like ours who practice together and know one another's names and faces. And then there's all of us doing that together, because what we're doing in attempting to wake up and end suffering is the same. However we talk about that, what
yes.
you know, whatever we call it,
yes.
whatever the lingo is that goes with it, we're all Sangha. We're all practicing conscious compassionate awareness, attempting to awaken and end suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
That's very good.
Yeah. Powerful. To me, what it sounds like what you're pointing at is seeing beyond that illusion of separation.
Yes.
That I'm separate from other people for this reason or because of this belief.
Yes.
Or whatever it is that makes me separate, different from, worse than, better than.
Yes.
Anyone else?
Yes, and how conditioned mind is always looking for something that will give it proof of separation.
Yes.
And, of course, what's so much easier to see, but conditioned mind is not interested, is how much the same we are.
Yes.
And if we look for those ways that we are the same, then the sort of family aspect of this becomes extremely apparent.
Yes. Yes. Sherry, we have another caller.
Very good.
I'd welcome Karen from North Carolina. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, I can't hear you, Michael.
Can you hear me now?
Not very well.
My goodness, can you hear me?
Yes.
Well,
okay, good.
We'll just talk and we'll just let Michael eavesdrop.
Okay. Well, I'm responding to the caller just a minute ago. You know, that shifting, my experience of that is being on retreat and the privileged environment, and that supports the heart and does not support conditioning. And I have experiences of living in that place, from that place. And so that when I return to my life, I can shift to it again. I can make that shift.
Yes. Yes. It's like it becomes a place, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it's not a static.
No.
Sort of stagnant place.
And it may not be anything like what he was talking about, but that's what came up for me in response.
Uh-huh.
That yes. there's that the ability to drop suffering and return to well-being.
Yes. That movement is, I would guess, very similar
yeah.
to the kind of shift that he's talking about. Although the one that he was talking about, well, it's probably still the same thing. It sounded like it was a matter of it just happened. So, you know, I'm driving along down the road, and then the subject-object thing shifts
uh-huh.
on me. But I suppose it could be argued that the first time we dropped into well-being, it felt like the same thing.
Well, yes, I can remember that happening to me once at the monastery, and I was in a real snit about something, and all of a sudden I wasn't anymore, and I saw that I didn't have to be.
Uh-huh.
And so it just happened. I didn't will it to happen.
Yes, you didn't try to make it happen. It just shifted.
Yeah, and I don't know that I try to make it happen, but I'm aware that it's a possibility, and somehow then it happens.
Yes, because in order to be aware of it as a possibility, you're actually going to the experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those wonderful places of, did I let go and it fell away, or did it fall away and then I let go?
Right.
Was I willing to let go and then it fell away, or did it fall away and then I was willing to let go?
And who cares?
And who cares? Yeah, so that wonderful thing of just turning the attention,
mm-hmm.
turning the attention toward. So
mm-hmm.
The other way that we can look at that, of course, and talk about that is turning the attention away.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we practice, of course, in meditation is I'm out there lost in some big hurrah about something, and then I turn my attention back to the breath, and whatever that was that I was caught up in just falls away.
Well, that is the other piece of it.
Yes.
Because that's a very important piece of it, which hadn't occurred to me to actually point to. That's what the tool I use.
Yes, the turning the attention.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of allowing my attention just to wander, and then it goes to wherever it's karmically conditioned to go, there is a habit, a growing habit, to be present and then to direct the attention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now, again, what is it that arises to bring a consciousness of turning the attention? That's a fun one.
What is it that arises to bring the turning of consciousness to attention?
Yes. So you know, you're kind of walking down the road, maybe lost in a little reverie,
uh-huh.
and then it occurs to you that you can bring your attention back to the present. Well, we guess that you're already back in the present, and that's what causes you to consider that you could bring your attention back to the present.
Yeah, and it's almost, too, that's one of those, what part of me hears that is saying, sometimes I'm in... Just what you said, I'm already back there, and then a little voice will come in and tell me that.
Yes. You could come back to the present.
Mm-hmm.
But the only reason that you hear that little voice say you could come back to the present is that you're present.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So that there's again, with that kind of awareness, so maybe I'm in a snit about something, and instead of it just falling away and I'm suddenly in that other place,
mm-hmm.
I can actually turn my attention to that other place, and there I am.
Right.
Then we watch how conditioned mind wants to pull the attention back out to that snit, wants to run through that conversation, tell me how I've been done wrong one more time so that I'll go back into the snit room.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for a great retreat.
Thanks.
Okay.
See you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for calling, Karen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We've come to the end of a very busy show today.
We have to save those email questions for next week.
So please join us again next week. And if you want to email us in the meantime, send an email to openair@livingcompassion.org. Thank you so much, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.